The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Glad to have you listening. We're live at Flowery Branch, guys. We have some news to report when it comes to the injury front for our Atlanta Falcons. You're also going to hear Coach Raheem Morris and our conversation with him coming up in about 20 minutes. And Justin Simmons stopped by. And I invite you to make sure you are tuned in the 6 o'clock hour to hear one of the best interviews you're going to hear. It's not because Mike and I did it. It's because Justin Simmons is just that dude. And to get some more insight about a guy that I think a lot of Falcon fans wanted, we didn't know if we were going to get him, and then for him to make the decision to come gave us, I still believe, the best safety tandem in the National Football League, and he discussed Jesse Bates and a lot more. Stay tuned for that. Mike, the injury update. Today is Wednesday. We play the Broncos on Sunday. What's going on with this limited participation and guys who did not practice today?
Now, one thing we know if you follow the NFL is by the time you get to weeks 10, now 11, that everybody's banged up. Nobody's 100%. But I do worry about our quarterback because he's on the injury report. Limited participation, as Carl said, parentheses, right shoulder, right elbow, throwing arm. Got landed on by a couple of guys. I know that he got squished by the one sack that Cam Jordan had. There's a couple of other guys that got after him, but you know, he took some contact in addition to those three sacks. So for the first time, you know, as a Falcon, I can remember that Kirk Cousins shows up on the injury report.
I agree. And I don't like some of these other ones. I mean, Tyler Allgeier, quad. Troy Anderson, knee. Lindstrom, knee.
And by the way, this is where we get into availability is the best ability.
Yes, it is.
Anderson can't stay, like, clean. Now, it's limited. It doesn't knock him out of this game, but it just he's always banged up. You know,
I agree.
When he's healthy, we've seen it at pick six, athletic, super volume, speed, volume of plays, I mean. But, man, you got to stay on the field.
Yeah, it's part of the issue. Charlie Warner did not participate. He's got a concussion. He's been a big part of almost blocking downs and going two tight ends and whatnot. Also, D. Alford did not participate, hamstring. But Drake was a full participant, and so was Drew Dolman. So
and you'll need Drew. I'm sorry to cut you off because Ryan Neusel is in there with a calf injury as far as a limited participant.
Yeah, and so those that is good news. But to our point, guys, you're talking about 9 guys, limited participation. 6 guys or 5 guys don't participate. This is what you don't want heading into not only this weekend, and Coach said it to us, and you'll hear it in less than 6 minutes from now, heading into the bye week. We play these guys. Hopefully we get a dub, and then you get healed up, and now we go finish the rest of the season.
When the season came out, it was announced back in May. One thing I think we all agreed on, this is the best possible bye week. I mean, the later the better. That's when you need it. You just pointed it out. But, man, you're going to play a team which has got a quarterback who's the 5th leading rusher as far as a quarterback position. We talked about that with Coach in Bo Nix. A really aggressive defensive front that gets after it and is leading with is second to lead in sacks with 35. So that's a concern, man. So I do love the idea of getting Drew Dolman back, but I think Neusel's done a really good job filling in. Lindstrom shows up, as you mentioned, with a knee, which is still aching him. So we're banged up. It's late season NFL, and this is what we got. But the first time Cousins on there, a lot of people are going, what the dealio is that?
Yeah, the Broncos defense, guys, this is going to be the challenge. And, you know, we had our issues against the Saints. We got to score points against these guys. They have the fourth-ranked scoring defense in the league. That's 17 points a game. That's the issue. When you talk about being one of the better, you know, overall teams as far as giving up yards, they're fifth in the league, Mike. They're not giving up 300 yards a game. So they get pressure. They're holding teams under 20 points. And then on top of that, in the red zone.
Yep.
Fourth in the league in red zone defense.
Yep. It's a good defense, man. That's why I said this was one of those games that, you know, this was going to be one of those toss-ups. Now, we didn't know how good Bo Nix was going to get traction in his rookie year, you know, with Sean Payton, but he's kind of been gotten better and better. And we know how we struggle with the quarterbacks who can move outside the hash marks, so that's a bit of a concern. So it's a scary proposition. Hate to go in the bye week off an L. Hopefully that won't be the case. But this also gets back to, when you look at this injury report, I know that we talked a lot about, well, we're going to get some payback for that terrible game to wrap up the season last year when Jameis, who's not there anymore, ran it up. Saints got physical with us. It's a division game. Pads were popping. I know we had some friends who were at the game, and they said, if you're down low, guys are taking some hits. That was a physical-type, old-school game. So, for what it's worth, the Saints kind of kicked our butts a little bit, if we're honest.
Physically, a little beat up. We just got this from our buddy Dave Archie, who says Cousins did throw today. The limited designation is required. That's, again, all of this stuff by the league. But he says he did everything today. So as far as his responsibilities, he threw the ball today and did fine. That is the report from our own Dave Archer. So that's good.
And thanks to Dave. Always listening, watching, judging.
Let's talk about what was said to Mike and I here on the show today. What did Coach Morris say about the loss of the Saints? We'll tell you. But, Mike, we got to talk about Younghoe Koo. Monday, I was as frustrated as anybody about what this was on Sunday, why he missed these field goals, get right, can I trust you, what are we doing? And this is what Raheem Morris told us when we asked him, are you concerned? Cool.
I feel like I've answered this about 3 million times, but not at all. You know, it's like I said it right after the game, but, you know, Steph Curry has off nights and, you know, Klay Thompson have off nights, and they keep shooting. You know, I watched Steph shoot an air ball last night in his game and actually hit the game winner. When it counted the most, and like that's how I feel about Koo. Like, Koo's one of those guys going to shoot, and he's a shooter, and he's been shooting for us for a long time, and he's got way too much money in my emotional bank account for me to get down on him for one game, and that's just the truth of the matter.
Too much invested for me to get down on him after just one game. It is, and again, this is why when we put out our poll earlier this week, we said, look, part of the answer was you give him another shot, which is obviously going to happen. There is too much invested, and Koo had a bad day at the office. I just don't need him to have another one.
Yeah, and as you'll hear in the interview, the long-form interview with Coach, it's just nobody knows how to deal with kickers. You just hope a good – because he's a good kicker. He's a Pro Bowl kicker.
Yes.
We talked about it earlier. We have a good history here. Matt Bryant, as his career wound down, Koo came in, stepped into the breach. But this is one where you're like – these games – a lot of these games, especially when you look at the – you know, Commanders and the Vikings and all the games we looked at that really matter as far as our seeding in the NFC, that you can't have games come down to the wire with a kicker who's 50-50 right now, who's like 70% his lowest career average on, you know, for the season on his field goal percentage made.
Coach says they are going to ride Koo until the wheels fall off. And I thought that was a definitive statement to say, not only do I believe in our kicker, but he ain't going nowhere. And we're not bringing anybody in. And regardless of what you think, me, this is what we're doing. And I'm fine with that. That's cool. But we can't have it again.
No, I mean, but it's the thing. I mean, it's the worst thing possible to have when you have a team which is trying to find its way in the world, because you got to go get more bums that have already gone through what Koo's gone through.
Yeah.
And that's why they got cut, and that's why they're out there, who are then going to maybe make a few kicks and then get back to being what they were before they got cut from the other team. You guys have seen it. We've seen it around the league. Ah, kickers. No wonder. No wonder. You know what? 49ers, man, they're the right idea. Go out there, Debo Samuel. Go rough him up. Knock some sense into him. Let's straighten you out.
Hey, man, we got more to get to. Hawks, big win last night. We've been talking about the Dogs all day after the college football playoff rankings came out. We will get to that here at about 5:40, because I know a lot of Dog fans are shrugging their shoulders and going, wait a minute. We wouldn't be in today if it started? No, you wouldn't be. But the season is not over. We'll get to also tell you what Rusty Manziel had to say to us today about this Dog football team heading into the Tennessee game. It is all on the way. But when we come back, we got to hear from Coach Raheem Morris. As he sat down with Mike and I and talked about the Saints' loss, How do we get right? What needs to be corrected? And what he thinks about the Denver Broncos. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach Raheem Morris. All right. Tough one last week. We gotta turn the page, but I know a lot of Falcon fans know and want to know what I'm about to ask you, and that is, are you concerned about young Wei Koo?
I feel like I've answered this about 3 million times, but not at all. You know, it's like I said it right after the game, but, you know, Steph Curry has off nights and, you know, Klay Thompson have off nights and they keep shooting. You know, I watched Steph shoot an air ball last night in his game and actually hit the game winner when it counted. And, like, that's how I feel about Koo. Like, Koo's one of those guys who's going to shoot, and he's a shooter, and he's been shooting for us for a long time, and he's got way too much money in my emotional bank account for me to get down on him for one game. And that's just the truth of the matter.
I know that everybody goes through it. Justin Tucker with the Ravens, yeah, you're not going to comment on another team's player, but we can just say that he's one of the best in the business. He's having an off year by his standards. So guys go through it. Matt Bryant went through a patch back in the day with us. But, I mean, but how do you help?
It's funny you say yeah, Matt Bryant.
Right.
The only reason Matt Bryant ended up being Atlanta Falcons because he had one small day like that in Tampa.
Right.
He left us in Tampa, and I came down here to join him down here to watch the second part of his career just be outstanding, as good as almost the first part of his career. So it's like, that's why you can't have the overreactions when days like that happen for skill set people, pitchers, kickers, shooters.
Right.
Those are different deals. And like those are things that they work through for the most part. And I told the media today, man, I said, we're going to ride Young Wei Koo till the wheels fall off.
Okay.
And that's our guy.
It's just because it's such a psychological thing, and nobody does it. So nobody can really kind of handicap it. What do you and Marquise do to help him out?
Nothing.
Okay.
stay out of his way. Marquise knows a lot more, obviously, about the technical aspect than I do. But the whole deal is with Young Wei Koo just getting back to his rhythm, his routine, his rhythm, and what he has to do. Getting back to hitting it is like a golf swing. I can't do that either, and neither can most of us, right? But it's like going out there, going out to getting repetitive work and being able to get that stuff back in line and go lock in and really just wait for your next opportunity to go kick it so you can make it, so you can stop all the noise.
Coach Raheem Morris with us guys here on Dukes and Bell. Coach, we run 481 yards. We outgained them, I'm talking about the Saints, 468 to 365. You look at some of these numbers and you go, we really dominated the game, but we didn't win the game. What is your message there when you look at this kind of stuff? And I know for you, stats are for nerds, but at the end of the day.
Not nerds.
Oh, okay.
Losers.
Losers. thank you. But you look at these numbers and you go, we actually dominated the game. Well, how do you look at that?
That's the definition of what I mean by stats are for losers, right? Those things don't matter. It's all about winning the football game. And we went and played a football game where we did enough to win on offense. We did enough to win on defense. We didn't do enough to win on special teams when it comes to the kicking phase. And you can't just come out and say that's the case, that's why you lost. No, you go find ways to do more on defense, to not give up the long touchdown passes, to not give up the two explosives. You go find ways on offense where you fall short in the red zone, have to kick field goals and potentially get them blocked or whatever the case may be. You find ways to win the football game no matter what. I don't care anything about stats. I know we all fall in love with this as part of our generation. It's part of what we've become. I know it's made us a bunch of money when it comes to
the metrics.
You know,
yeah,
all the metrics and all those things. They're fun, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to actually winning football games and team and how you go play games, they're for losers, man. And, like, we got to find a way to win that football game.
I want to follow up on the explosive plays. We've done a great job of not giving them up. Coach, was that blown coverages? What happened on those two particular plays?
It was not a blown coverage. It was a great execution by New Orleans on the quick snap on third down, and I believe 6 or 7 on a medium, and got guys lined up quick, got us in position, got them out of position to man coverage, scored a touchdown. And then the other one was just a man-to-man loss. You know, man-to-man loss on the sideline.
Did the pre-snap motion do anything on that one?
My man, no, that was less pre-snap motion. That was just a man-to-man loss. It was a really good catch, you know, by Van Des Kelly. No one took any away from his game. But, you know, those two big plays were different in the game. No different in the kicks, right? Two big plays or the kicks, whatever the case may be, or, you know, not getting the opportunities in the red zone that we could have made instead of getting the penalties and scoring touchdowns. You know, it's just so many things in the game that come up that you got to – harp on and be ready to go out there and finish off those opportunities, and that's where the stats get confusing.
It's Raheem Morris with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios, live here at Falcons, our weekly visit. Yeah, it's just frustrating because it seemed like the offense, you know, they struggled a little bit, and they really got things going. The throw to Pitts, that Bijan runs, one of the best Falcon runs I've ever seen, where he loses his balance and he runs away from the defense. So it just seems like things were flowing, and then was it missed penalties and just lack of execution, do you think, at the end of the day that hurt us?
No, you know, actually in the red zone, a couple of times, it feels like forever ago, but at the couple of times, it feels like we jumped off sides one time and overcame that penalty, and then we got down there again and we got another penalty. We missed an opportunity on a route distribution deal in the red zone, so we ended up settling for the field goal attempt. A couple times, things of that nature happened. Like, they just sputtered out in the red zone. That hadn't happened in the last couple of weeks. We're not accustomed to that. But I think we were 1 for 3 in the red zone. And when we get down there, we have been scoring, and we've been able to run it in, you know, pretty consistently. Even the touchdown that we did get in the run, came on the 4th and 1, which was 3 plays of lack of execution before we got in there and got to have a moment. But you know, those are the things where we got to be better. Those are the things we got to be to close out teams, and that's why I expect our guys to stand up and go win. Like, yeah, if I had a 5th down on that 3rd down and 1, I was going for it.
Yeah. right.
You know, it didn't matter. It was just that's a mentality play. Like, you go score, and yes, we're going to call the same play. You know,
right? We're running the same thing. Let's just execute it. Coach, we're at a point in the season, you could say this about a lot of teams, inconsistent, right? Mm. Win a few, lose a few. You could say that's the NFL. How do you feel about our team right now when you look at how consistent we can be at moments and then lapses like last week where we can be inconsistent? And how do you try to fix those things? Because that's what you're trying to get to as we head towards the end of the season and certainly towards the playoffs.
You just don't feel like it's a lapse when you lose a 1-possession game. I think that's the National Football League. You know, you would say a lapse was our Seattle game. We got out of whack. We couldn't get back in the groove. This game was a start slow. Definitely picked it up a lot faster than we thought. We matched the energy. We got the urgency back in. We made it a game. We hit the big-time play to Mooney. Hit 2 big-time plays to Mooney, getting the 1. The defense picked it up. Got a bunch of 3-and-outs in the second half. We uncharacteristically messed up, you know, 3 field goal opportunities.
Right.
And that just doesn't happen. And when that happens, those things come back to bite you and it hurts you.
Right.
So, like, I wouldn't say it was that exactly. I wouldn't put my finger in there. It is just about finding ways to win those games, particularly on the road, in division, with a chance to close out a team that just gave us a bunch of opportunities, and we didn't capitalize.
It was just strange things all game. As Raheem Morris is with us, like when Bijan got his legs tangled with McGarry, and I think that was a Cam Jordan sack on that one.
It was 2 of those.
Yeah, and it's just because we talk about the great job they've done protecting Kirk, but all of a sudden that happened.
You know, we got 3 sacks on the day, and 2 of them we tripped our own guys. and you know, I feel for those moments because obviously those are small little detail technique errors, too wide, too short, too whatever, releasing through the wrong gap, whatever the case may be, clipping up an elbow. And those things happen within a game of footwork, but I don't know if you guys remember me saying the good, the bad, the ugly.
Right, yep.
Well, when you run into a player and give up a sack, that's ugly.
Yeah.
When you trip a guy, that's ugly. You know, when you uncharacteristically do some things like that, those are the things. When you get it blocked,
yeah,
that's ugly. You know, a lot's got to go wrong to get it blocked, as you know, with the operation and what happens in the field goal. So, like, if you eliminate those 3 big ugly plays, man, you're talking about a whole different deal.
Coach is brought to you by the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center here on Dukes and Bell. You came in, we were talking and joking around about therapy because this is what it is for us each and every week as we talk to fans and kind of go through the process of, you know, our feelings, being in our feels, Coach.
It's a tough loss. It's a tough loss for you, I have to tell you.
no doubt. But with that said, the good news is we get to flip the script and move on, and that is going to be Sunday against the Broncos. So first thing is health. How are we looking? What's the deal for health?
I don't know who's healthy right now at this time of the year, but it is what it is, right? We got guys out there that's going out there playing, you know, somewhat, not at the top strength that we talk about, which we know, like guys like Troy and things of that nature. And we go through these weeks and we figure out as we go through it how good we're going to be. And then I can't wait to get to tomorrow's practice to get it physical and let these guys put the pads on and be able to go do some things, then run around a little bit on Friday. And you feel better by Saturday, get out there and you play the game and let's go, right? But here's a big time one for us before our bye to go back and really rest, recover, and get some people back and do some different things and find ways to get even more healthy for the stretch run, man. But the most important thing is getting this one.
Right.
That's the most important thing.
Road game at altitude, if that means anything. But the pass rush. And Bo Nix, man, that dude moves around. I mean, he's still learning on the job. So, the obvious thing is to try to throw some things at him that he hasn't seen. But what do you see on tape from him? Because he looks like he's getting
That's clearly the thing that jumps off tape to you. You know, his ability to scramble and run the football. Like, I always knew he could move around the pocket and do different things. But him running away from people this year has been really impressive. And, like, he's done a nice job of that. You know, Sean does a great job of getting his quarterbacks easy completions. And he's given him reads that he can absolutely handle. And when it's not there, when it breaks down, he's been able to run away from a lot of good defenses. So we got to go out there and contain this guy and keep him in the pocket. And you got to tackle him when we have opportunities. He's got some big-time runs. I don't know if – what is he, second in the league in rushing from quarterback standpoint?
Yeah, I think you're right. And that number's not surprising. I'm more surprised about just how well-composed he's been, you know, considering being a rookie. Rod, you've been in the league a long time.
I'm less surprised by the composure because I got a chance to meet him through the draft process.
Oh, really? What did you think?
I thought he was a very composed kid, a guy that can handle it, a guy that can go out and play almost immediately, you know, and if you have to figure some things out, obviously it'll go to some learning curve, which he is going through, and I'm sure he's having a ball doing it.
Yeah, that's interesting. You've been in the league a long time. Going to Denver, you were with the Rams, you guys played out there a lot. Like, is it a big deal? Is it different than other places around the league because of the things we talk about, or not really?
You know, it hits everybody differently. And then obviously – from a coach's standpoint, you always talk about your guys with the sickle cell trait. That affects you in altitude. People that have altitude poisoning, you know, obviously we got medications you can take beforehand and when you get there, things of that nature. And we'll take all the necessary steps to be prepared for that, you know, just not being used to that stuff. But for the most part, since I've been there, I haven't run into the problem. You know, I just happen to know Ryan Clark very well.
Right.
And know about the situation that happened with him.
Sure,
so
sure.
You're always going to pay more attention to that detail. We went out there with Tevin Coleman, who also had sickle cell, and right. We're able to pay, and he had his best game ever in Denver, if you remember.
That's right, he did.
And it's just like one of those things where as long as you are aware of it and can pay attention and know what's going on, and fortunately we learned the lesson from Mr. Clark that, you know, we know how to take care of it.
Right. Their pass rush is pretty stout. I mean, the offensive line, so expect the guys to come in, use Bijan, Pitts at times. Everyone's going to have to chip in, literally to chip, to get these guys off of Kirk.
You know, that's kind of been a plan throughout the whole year. And like we talked about Bijan's ability to pass pro a bunch on this show and in press conferences and everything else, and it's really impressive. Probably the most underrated thing that he does, you know, believe it or not, but really confident in our O-line. This D-line absolutely has pass rushes across the board. It can get after the quarterback, and we got a big challenge ahead of us, and I look forward to our guys standing up and being ready to deal.
Coach Ra, before we let you go, what do you think, or what you already know, but your message, you know, when you lose one like that, right, you gotta scratch it from the surface. You got to let it go. But what's your message heading into this week? Because you just talked about the bye, and I agree with you. That's a big deal to head into the bye with a dub.
You know, it's not just the bye, but it's getting the dub is the biggest deal, right? Because why is this the most important game? Because it's the next game, right? That's the mentality. And the whole deal about the last game of scrubbing it is just like you can't let one team beat you twice, right? You got to come out that thing and ready to go. You got to be ready to all guns firing and all cylinders up. Everybody's ready out. And that's where we're at. And like process, you got to trust it. The preparation that we're going through, go get this win, and then we'll be able to enjoy next week. I'll get a chance to talk to you. Great.
Yeah, let's do it. Coach Rob, appreciate you, man. Thank you for stopping by. I was going to ask you, and we'll get into this, but I'm curious to know. Mike and I are talking about trends around the league and like what may surprise you. We'll ask you when we come back next time we get a chance to talk to you because we're seeing things around the league. We know it's a copycat league. But
give
like,
me an example, man.
For example, like you're seeing things with tight ends, all right, with the usage of tight ends and how much that's – like evolved over the years. And you know probably when you got into this, tight ends were mostly blocking guys. Now you see just difference makers, right, across the league. And it's just I'm curious to know what you think when you watch stuff, you talk to other coaches, and like the trends that you're seeing around the league and how that sets the league in one way or the other.
It's funny. You said it right at the back, though. It's a copycat league, right?
Yep.
We've seen the success between Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, and people copycatted that. They're running a bunch of 12. Then then you see all the success with the tight ends, and then we had a National Tight End Day. You got Travis Kelce. You got all these kind of guys
that
make these plays. Yeah. And now tight ends are all over the place making a bunch of big plays. They're number one receivers. They're part of the we are people too club, right? And and at some point, it's going to be a fullback league. Who knows?
I'm going to wait on that. Yeah, I'm going to wait on
year.
That.
Thanks, hey, man, Rob. Let's go, Rob. Get him up there to Mile High, man.
There he is, the head football coach of our Atlanta Falcons. And the football, the fullback, by the way, is extinct. I mean, he's joking there. You don't see teams. Mike, I think there's like three teams that carry full-time fullbacks.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We were one, but now we're not one. You know, and certainly, you know, Shanahan employs one very well. You know, with Jusic out there with San Fran, but that's, you know, that's the exception, not the rule.
All right, coming up, College Football Playoff Committee spoke last night. What did they say? We'll break it down for you coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Where did the committee get it right? Where did they get it wrong? And what did they say about the dogs? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, here's the deal. Four Big Ten teams in the top five last night. Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana. Now, we know Indiana's going to play, Ohio State. This is all going to work itself out, but they're giving the Big Ten a lot of love. The group of five is Boise State right now. They get an automatic bid, which means if it started today, Georgia would not make the playoff, guys. It was tied at 12, 12 and 12. Right. They would get in. Georgia would be out. Army's the other team, by the way, that is the G5 that would get an automatic bid, but they probably are going to play Tulane for the championship in the AAC.
They get Notre Dame in a week. They get this week off.
And if they win that game, by the way, that's huge.
Yep.
But let's talk about the best two lost teams. The way the committee sees it right now, it's Bama, UGA, Tennessee. Well, guess who plays this weekend? UGA and Tennessee, right?
Loser is going to be, Georgia will win the tiebreaker over Tennessee. But right now, and you and I were talking about earlier, we'll get into some of the other scenarios. Ole Miss wins the tiebreaker over Georgia if they went out against Florida and Miss State, which they likely will.
Well, and that's, Tennessee right now sitting in front of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I say they think Bama and UGA are still two of the best two lost teams.
Right.
But Bama's ranked higher because of that road win against LSU.
Right. Big game.
So, here's the thing, dog fans. Focus on the present, not the past. Focus on Saturday with Tennessee and getting this done, Mike. And I do not think that Georgia is misplaced in these rankings. Unfortunately, they didn't get done dirty. Nobody's looking, and saying, hey, Georgia doesn't deserve this, that, or the other. This is the beauty of this. You earn this. The teams that are in front of Georgia right now, based on what they've done, deserve to be in front of them. But it doesn't mean that Georgia can't win out. And more importantly, make a path towards the national championship. How that looks right now, Mike, I don't know. Are they hosting a home game?
Well,
I don't know.
See, that's the thing. We're just looking at the teams that are ahead of them. For instance, again, this is just facts or generally what's accepted as common knowledge around college football. Penn State can't beat Ohio State. They couldn't get a first and goal. They had four cracks at it. They couldn't get it done.
Twice.
And now they get Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland.
Okay.
So they're likely, if you go look at the college football standings, you could argue that, potentially it's Indiana. Now, is Indiana going to beat Ohio State? We're going to find out. But it could be, and they got all these different tiebreakers. Ohio State will win the tiebreaker over Penn State and potentially rematch against Oregon State, provided they beat Indiana. If Ohio State trips up, maybe Penn State weasels their way in. But they're in. If Penn State it's a Power 5 in the Big Ten with one loss, even though everybody and their uncle knows that even – see, let me back that up. I don't know if Georgia beats Penn State in a neutral site right now. I don't know. I mean, we can say that Penn State looks anemic on offense as far as against Ohio State, but they can run the football. Georgia at times has looked very beatable. So I'm going to walk that back because I'm kind of in those old sort of the predispositions from previous years. Georgia's not that team this year.
No, it's what's blinding us, many of us, from seeing what's going on with this team right now. As I stated, if you missed it earlier with Rusty Manziel, he finished the comments about, the issues with the football team and they're all fixable, but we haven't been able to fix them all. Mm-hmm. But they're all individual things that collectively are hurting the team. And this is the problem. You just don't have the Beck thing with what's going on in between his ears. You also have receivers dropping balls. You've got running backs fumbling. You've got responsibilities that are being missed. You're getting beat up front. It's not one thing. You start adding all of that up, and you're not playing up to your capability. Now, All of that is fixable. Can you fix it Saturday and go play your best game against Tennessee? Because that's what you're going to need.
Right. Again, guys, we were talking earlier about Nico Iamaleava, and he has got a concussion. But I can't imagine him not playing. Kind of like how Allaire played for Penn State in that Ohio State game, and even though he was on one good leg. Although the concussion, correct me if I'm wrong, there was nothing with the SEC like the NFL.
No.
So it's just simply the medical say he's good. Get him out there.
Yeah, they don't have he's not going to the blue tent, Mike, and an independent
right
evaluator's looking. I just didn't know, but his coach is saying that earlier in the week, and I'm going to go with what Heupel said. I think this game's too big for Tennessee, if he's available, to not run him out.
All hands on deck. Dante Thornton, who had 100 yards before he got knocked out in their game last week, he is also dealing with that's described as an upper body injury for the Vols. Smile Munden's back. We talked about that, and they'll need him to be good. Everyone's got to play better. That's why I said when we talked to Rusty earlier, I'll take a break from crapping on Bobo and say, what's up with Schumann's defense and the way they looked against Ole Miss?
All right, one other thing we got to address with the Dogs. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Of course, the 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. Guys, on this Wednesday, order Buffalo Wild Wings. Go pick it up on your way home or for your next event if you can't stop in. Kirby apologized, Mike, about calling this kid an idiot last week at Ole Miss. And for those who missed the story, let's rehash this real quick. I know you talked about it in Guy Talk,
right.
But there may be some people say, wait a minute, why did he call a kid an idiot? The kid was on the field reminiscing with an old teammate, high school friend.
Yeah, you want to dap a guy up, you want to hug him, but don't start jumping up and down like you're playing for the Rebels. That's why, I mean, you know, it just, and I get it. People didn't like the optics of Kirby calling a guy an idiot, but it was an idiotic move. And the kids had to deal with hell on social media because Georgia fans go, well, why don't you transfer to Ole Miss?
Right.
Because, well, it was really dumb. And yes, 18 and 19-year-olds do dumb stuff. We all get that. But, I mean, I don't think Kirby's got to walk that back. Yeah, he's got 15,000 things to deal with this week dealing for getting ready for Tennessee. This is problem, you know, 15,001.
Yeah.
But he was asked a question. I like that he gave a visceral sort of gut answer. You know, and it was like everything else these days. Oh, no, he's bullying the poor kid. You know, we're worrying about the kids. Is he well? Okay, you know, just don't do stupid stuff. Stupid is as stupid does. It was galactically stupid. The coach called it out, and you're lucky the coach walked it back because he didn't owe you anything.
Big O, can we hear Kirby apologize or at least talk about the apology that he issued? This is Kirby Smart.
Yeah, you know, I don't like to comment on the internal stuff going on inside. He did talk to the team, did a great job. You know, I'll say I should not have called the kid an idiot. That was a mistake by me, but I appreciate Jake. He is a great kid. He works really hard. He's a team player. I think he knows it was a week, and he told the team that. So I appreciate the way he handled it.
I'm with you on this.
I just think that
– I am, Mike.
I'm like, okay, whatever.
Sometimes you just have to say what things are. And I know we've gotten away from that sometimes in some points in our country. Sometimes you got to say what it is. This is sports, right? Nobody. This isn't brain surgery. Nobody was having nobody got hurt physically. Mm-hmm. This was silly and dumb, and I had no issues with Kirby calling it out. Now, let me ask you this. Do you feel like Kirby felt like he needed to not say this because of the state of college football? Because guess what? You start calling kids idiots and guys go,
you don't want to go there.
Call me an idiot, bro. I'm up out of here. I put me in the portal.
Right. I mean, you got to kiss the kid's butt. I mean, Don Nealon used to joke around about how you're a recruiter, you have to love them up. And then once you got them in there, once you're in your school, now it's a new world.
Well, you
can't go anywhere.
You can't go anywhere.
But nowadays, you're right. With the transfer portal, yeah. I don't know. I mean, unless somebody.
Or do you think he genuinely feels
Kirby,
he should not have
it
done
it? It could have been anywhere from. I don't think anybody in the athletic department said you got to walk it back. I mean, his wife might have said something over breakfast. I don't know. Or Kirby just generally felt it was bad. But I just think at this day and age, it was just in 2024. When a kid, he did something stupid. It was stupid.
That's it.
Let's all move on.
That's it.
Now we got to apologize for the kid being an idiot.
Yeah.
And I get it. The kid, guys were killing him. He had to do like two pages of apologies on Instagram and all that. But you're right. Bigger picture, you don't look like you're Frank Cush or, you know, one of these old school coaches from back in the day that don't exist anymore.
And I also think, this is what I believe, and no one said this to me, I think Kirby doesn't want to bring that smoke to the kid that he brought him.
Right.
Because as a head coach, when you call out one of your players like that, people are already looking to point blame as to why you lost. And you lose a game, and then you have a kid doing that, and then the coach says specifically that individual, it allows the fan base to then jump on him. And I think more than anything, Kirby as a head coach knew that, and then after you know, rehashing it, went, damn, I didn't want to do that to the young man. Right. Was it dumb? Yeah, it was. But I didn't need to bring attention to it. He never brings attention to any of these kids. He brought attention to that. That was the mistake.
I know that, and by the way, we're talking to Tennessee fans saying, no, I'm saying if Georgia beats Tennessee, they'll have the tiebreaker, the advantage head-to-head. But I know we were talking earlier about, you know, where this thing goes. I just felt, you know, as a fan, you know, we thought that Carson Beck was going to be a Heisman Trophy winner. Remember how the conversation started in August, preseason?
He was a Heisman Trophy candidate,
that
yes.
There was buzz about him. Now, yeah. Don't even know if he's going to be a top 25 pick in the NFL. Then you get into, you know, the injuries, the defense, the rah-rah Thomas, and then, of course, the Kobe Young thing. So you lost some of your – you lost wide receivers that maybe were going to be playmakers for you. And the wide receivers we talked about with Rusty Manziel earlier, they're not really any great shakes. No, we all knew you couldn't replace a guy like, you know, Brock Bowers, but still – you know, you thought your defense, okay, once, you know, Michael Williams gets healthy, okay. And the defense, that's the thing, even the defense, the calling card doesn't really pass the eye test right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what they'll do against all those teams that people are upset they're ahead of them. I don't know, to your point, what Georgia's going to do against those guys when they see them.
No, I tell you, if they had to go on the road to play these guys, and we don't know how this shakes out, or if it is, in fact, that, you know, let's just say semifinals, and it's a, you know, one of the bowl games that's connected to the college football playoff. The bowls are still involved in this, guys, obviously. The only time we'll see teams playing at home is in that first round, which is going to be the most interesting round to me because we've never seen that. Then it gets back to bowl affiliation and, you know, going to these bowl games and tying it into the college football playoff. But, yeah, Mike, if you're willing to tell me right now that they're better than the 7 or 8 teams that you think they're better than,
right.
I would ask you how.
I mean, because, again, even last year or the year before, I mean, I would give even money or you could seriously, Georgia would be laying 7 points to everybody in front of them.
Yeah.
Not this year.
All right, more to get to, including our conversation with Justin Simmons, starting safety for Atlanta Falcons. Stay right there. Very interesting dude. This hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Again, if you can't stop in, go and order it, guys. Pick it up on your way home for your next event, or maybe you just want Buffalo Wild Wings tonight. It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.